ain't no rich white life, we bound to respect.
KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles.
Don't let anybody make you think that God chose America as his divine messianic force to be a sort of policeman of the whole world. God has a way of standing before the nations with judgment, and it seems that I can hear God saying to America, you're too arrogant. And if you don't change your ways, I will rise up and break the backbone of your power.
Hotep, which in the language of ancient Egypt means we come with justice in peace. Welcome to Freedom Now, a Saturday Pan-Africanist and International World Affairs program. Freedom Now is committed to the principle of the rights of all peoples and nations to self-determination. We thank you deeply for your contribution, which permits programs like Freedom Now to stay on the air. In this era of corporate acquisition and co-optation of all dissident media, we provide the microphone challenging their corporate and racist point of view. So stay tuned for Agenda here at Freedom Now.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know.
Now, why should the black man have to go to court to get freedom when a white man in this country is free when he's born? Why should the black man need some legislation to prove that he's a human being when you don't need any legislation to prove that whites are human beings? So I make this point because you will never get real freedom and recognition between black and white people in this country without destroying the country, without destroying the present political system, without destroying the present economic system, without rewriting the entire Constitution. It would be a complete destruction of everything that America supposedly stands for before a white man in this country will recognize a black man as something on the same level with himself.
Peace, Hoteps, and wisdom to all of our faithful and devoted listeners out there in the radioverse. This is Brother Brandon Sankara, and I want to start things off with a thank you to all of you listeners out there who continue to support Freedom Now during these times. You keep us on our mission and allow us to bring you our agenda for today, Saturday, May 2nd, 2020. We begin with the voice of our dear ancestor Baba Didan Kamathi giving us the historical drumbeat calendar for the week, reminding us that every day is a day in African history. After that, we'll have the pleasure of getting an injection of motivation as we receive a message from General Jeff Skid Row, who will be on the horn with us to talk about all the current activity on the streets in the community of Skid Row. He'll be letting us in on the firsthand experiences of how our brothers and sisters there are managing the storm that is our present pandemic. He'll have much more in store, and we always appreciate him coming on the show to drop knowledge. And of course, when we're talking about information, knowledge, and wisdom, it is only right that Dr. Gerald Horn is here to guide us on our path to quench our mental thirst. He is on the job yet again, providing some insight into the present happenings that affect our Pan-African well-being so that you can stay up on what's going down. He'll also be giving us some more book reviews in order to keep us belly full with literary sustenance. And that'll be it for this week, my peoples. Your mental cup runneth over with revolutionary wisdom right here to quench your mental thirst on Freedom Now. KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles and KPFK.org streaming on the web. Now people get ready for this train a coming, taking you closer to mental liberation, and stay tuned for that beat of the historical drum.
Welcome to the African Drumbeat Historical Calendar, where we acknowledge and praise up the names and struggles of generations of freedom fighters. These struggles, these sheroes and heroes, have been whited out of history so as to maintain the continued domination of the third world by the Eurocapitalist 1%, or more precisely, the 0.01%. So let these historical truisms be our motivational guide to liberation. May 5th, 1818, the greatest socialist/communist theorist, Karl Marx, was born in Germany. Karl Marx developed a Marxist theory which argued the history of all prior existing societies is a history of class struggle which has inherent internal contradictions that produce seeds for its own demise. Regarding capitalism, he argued that as the wealth of society, the surplus of society, is increasingly centralized by fewer and fewer capitalists, the masses of workers would evolve through political organization into a coherent resistant force that would inevitably overthrow the capitalist class. Marx studied the works of anthropologist Engels, who studied third world societies, their system of communalism, their basis of communism. May 5th, 1941, Ethiopian masses under the leadership of His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie recapture Addis Ababa and Ethiopia from the Italian invaders after Italy's failed four-year effort to colonize Ethiopia. This failure fulfills the biblical prophecy which states that a king shall arise from the east that will defeat the forces of Babylon. In the late 1890s, Ethiopia under Empress Tautu and Emperor Menelik defeat the Italians' effort at colonization, hence the reverence and deification of His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie by the Rastafarian and Reggae movements. May 5, 1971, 14,000 protesters representing civil rights, black power, brown power, and numerous European, liberal, and leftist organizations were mass arrested in Washington, D.C., 14,000, during the anti-war May Day demonstrations. May 5, 1973, the Popular Front for the Liberation of Sangonette, El Hamada, Rio de Rio Polisario was founded to fight for independent Western Sahara in Africa from Spanish colonial rule. May 6, 1812, Dr. Martin Delaney, a Pan-Africanist, was born. He led expeditions to East and West Africa in the 1860s to help Africans in the United States, prisoners of war, former slaves, to return to their homeland. May 6, 1935, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, President of the United States, established a New Deal program, a series of programs that the federal government enacted to reform the banking system and provide massive state-sponsored make-work programs to combat the Great Depression, which caused the ranks of the Communist Party and other socialist movement to swell to 1.5 million card-carrying members and millions of supporters, as organized labor, organized farmers, organized students challenged the capitalist systems for demands for socialist policies. The ruling class fear of a U.S. Bolshevik-style Russian Revolution was a driving force for the New Deal movement. May 7, 1873, the United States invades and colonizes Panama. This sets in motion for the next 135 years, the U.S. using Panama as a military basis for launching covert wars against democratically elected governments in the Caribbean, Central and South America, including Grenada, Chile, Guyana, Cuba, the list is long. This includes every country in the entire hemisphere. In addition, these U.S. bases become major transshipment centers for the mass importation of cocaine by the CIA into the cities of the United States. May 7, 1952, Isabel Rosada, a Puerto Rican nationalist and heroic resistance fighter, leads the 1952 rebellion against the United States colonial occupation of her island country, Puerto Rico. She was one of the Vieques 21, arrested in May 1979 for protesting U.S. naval occupation and bombing of their homeland. At the age of 73, she faced off against armed U.S. soldiers, throwing rocks at them symbolically. May 7th, 1954, the heroic Vietnamese Revolutionary National Popular Front, composed of the people of Vietnam, defeats the French colonizer at Dien Bien Phu, signaling the end of French colonization in Indochina and ushering in the United States
which seeks to replace the French as a colonial power in Vietnam. May 8, 1970, the Chicago Seven are acquitted. The Chicago Seven, a group of indicted political activists who were part of the massive anti-war demonstration against the 1968 Democratic Party National Convention that turned into a police riot. These activists, representing the Black Panther Party and progressive European leftist organizations, had their charges dropped due to the combined tactics of mass street protests and legal court action. The same strategy was used to free Geronimo Gijaga Pratt. May 8, 1876, Gertrude Simmons Bonin, a Sioux organizer, pan-Indian activist who wrote about the domestic life of Native Americans, was born. She served as an officer of the male-dominated Society of American Indians. She founded the National Council of American Indians. She was criticized by Indian men for her activist role. She proceeded to write a historical account of women leaders in the Native struggle, setting the foundation for greater presence by women in the national pan-tribal political movements of the 1960s. May 9, 1800. John Brown, a European abolitionist, was born. John Brown died with two of his sons on a God-inspired mission to overthrow the slavetocracy of the United States at Harper's Ferry, Virginia. He mobilized African slaves, prisoners of war, under the banner of the Bible to slaughter plantation owners. May 9, 1920, Celia Sanchez, the Eva Perón of Cuba, was born. She created an orphanage organized in Marina Grajales Women's Military Platoons and helped founded the Federation of Cuban Women. These programs empowered women as equals in the liberation of Cuba from U.S. imperialism and helped consolidate Cuba into a true socialist state to be inclusive of women's emancipation. May 10, 1930, United Farm Workers leader and co-founder Dolores Huerta was born. Ms. Huerta organized agricultural workers to demand better pay and working conditions in the face of the mafia-controlled grape vineyards and state politicians in the field of Central California. Dolores, together with Cesar Chavez and thousands of laborers, organized the most militant strikes in the 1960s in the U.S. May 10, 1969, the South African Student Organization, SASO, was founded. SASO continued a global tradition of students becoming revolutionary organizers and revolutionary intellectuals, a critical component in the building of a liberation movement and revolutionary parties, providing the cadre for the Pan-African Congress and the African National Congress, as well as for AZAPO, Azanian People's Organization. May 11, 1846, the United States declares war in Mexico after U.S. troops, acting on presidential orders, provoked a conflict by crossing into Mexican territory. May 11, 1981, Bob Marley, Pan-Africanist reggae artist and advocate of African liberation and unity, crosses over. May 12, 1985, Wilson Good, mayor of Philadelphia, authorizes the aerial bombing of the African MOVE headquarters of the MOVE movement headed by John Africa, which destroys 61 homes and kills several Africans. Police responded to complaints of MOVE's political education work, as well as alternative lifestyle and self-defense policy. May 12, 1928, Sam Nujoma, president of SWAPO, the Southwest African People Organization, was born. SWAPO is a mass popular people's movement which successfully decolonized the former German and British colony. Then South Africa, European South Africa, seized the mandate and extended control. In 1990, SWAPO successfully defeated the South African racist government in the decolonization struggle of Namibia, which is located in Southern Africa. This has been the African Drumbeat Historical Calendar here at Freedom Now. We encourage you, wherever you are, to join us in the Zulu chant of Amandla Awake three times, which means power belongs to the people, a chant made famous in the U.S. by the Black Panther Party.
Welcome back here on Freedom Now, KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, kpfk.org on the web. This is Brother Brandon Sankara at home, maxing and relaxing, but staying busy, helping to bring you this here information. We now have the pleasure of having a message from friend of the show and community organizer General Jeff of Skid Row. We're going to hand you off to him so he can bring you up on what's going down. Take it away, General Jeff.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me on. This is General Jeff, Skid Row community activist, and we're broadcasting live from the front lines of Skid Row right now as we speak. There's a lot going on, and so I want to give our Freedom Now listeners and supporters a current update in terms of exactly what's going on. Real-time information right here from the streets of Skid Row, what's commonly known as the homeless capital of America, right here in downtown Los Angeles. So just to get right to it, because it's really the main problem is there's not a good enough sense of urgency in terms of what's going on in our community. We still got homeless folks, all on the sidewalks in tents. You got folks in the mission. You got homeless folks in the low income housing. While there's some basic information, so the stores, if we want to go into the mom and pop mini markets. It's mandatory. You can't go in without a mask. Great. There's a lot of people, not only in Skid Row, but all around the downtown Los Angeles area that are the biggest, quote-unquote, hustle right now is selling masks. And so, it's unfortunate for us in Skid Row is if you only got $5 in your pocket and you got $5 for food, but you need a mask to go in the store, and the masks are, $5. Now the costs are going up on the mask, and so you got to take away from your food to get a mask. And so, a lot of people still don't have masks. I mean, it's difficult. So now you got to get somebody to go in the store and shop for you, because you can't borrow somebody's mask. That's unsanitary. And so they got to scramble and look around for people that are, passing out free masks. So the city's got, City of Los Angeles has, limited masks that they've passed out. We've got some grassroots organization folks that are passing out masks, but they're hard to come by. And then there's something that you can't just keep using over and over and over and over again, some of these types of, some of these masks. And so, so the mask issue, that's an ongoing problem. There's a current lawsuit where there's some concerned citizens in downtown Los Angeles that have sued both the city and the county of Los Angeles. And there's this Judge David O. Carter, who is, boots on the ground. He's walking through our community. And so one of his solutions was more public restrooms and basically their porta potties and hand washing stations. And so the hands are sprinkled out all over Skid Row and other parts of downtown Los Angeles. For me personally, we're trying to alleviate the spread of COVID-19. We need hot water, just like in restaurants. The health department to shut a restaurant down if they don't have hot water for not only the clients, but all, more importantly, the workers. If you're in that kitchen handling food, you need hot water to stop the spread of disease. And so that's the same thing here in Skid Row, just because they got these little hand washing stations of cold water. Okay, sure, it's better than nothing. But when the city of L.A. and the mayor, Garcetti, is out having these press conferences and they're touting them as these great solutions, they're not great solutions. It's just temporary Band-Aids. And because now, the numbers are starting, they're finally starting to test in larger numbers in Skid Row. And so now the numbers are coming back, and it's like the numbers are going up. And so, all of this, another solution that the city of Los Angeles had was, they're going to get some paint. I don't even know how much that paint is. And then they're going to paint a line on the sidewalk every 12 feet. And then, quote, not even mandatory, but, quote, encourage homeless folks in the tents to spread out. And then that's unrealistic. To think people are going to, social distancing. Even in some of the food lines at the mission, there's some folks, the folks are in line. There's no 6 feet because the whole thing is, like, if you don't have food and your stomach is growling, you don't want separation between you and the person in front of you because somebody can cut in front of you. So you're going to close that line up to alleviate, you know, the enticement of somebody else wanting, oh, there's an empty spot. Let me slide in front of it. You know, and then you don't have employees regulating the lines because a lot of these nonprofit social service providers, that, you know, they're low on staff. And so there's just a whole bunch of logistical problems that are going on. And so, you know, we talk about, you know, the leadership of the city, the leadership of the county, you know, what are they doing? And so I sent out a scathing email to the leadership, the mayor's office. I sent it directly to Mayor Garcetti and his top staff, and saying how is it that me, as a well-respected, well-established Skid Row community activist for the last 13 plus years, how is it that I'm not getting any real-time information from the mayor's office in terms of what's going on with COVID-19? And they keep saying they're relying on their community partners to help. Well, you know, normally in the past, if there's anything going out, any information that needs to be passed out to the community, information would come to us, myself and other Skid Row community leaders, and we would disseminate that information as we're moving around our community. So now during a global pandemic, this is not the time for the mayor of Los Angeles and his office to not be sharing the real-time information. So I sent a scathing email, and one of the mayor's staff came back, you know, because there's this guy, this brother, that's actually the quote-unquote, his position is the director of Skid Row Strategy. And he, you know, responded immediately with apologizing, because for some reason, and he called me after he saw the email and said, you know, brother, what's going on? I see the email. What's happening? And I'm looking at him here. What is happening? That's the problem, why I sent the email. And I told him that very phone call, when he called me because of my email, was the first time I heard from him all year long. And so in all of 2020, and the last time I heard from him, I was putting an event together to respect Don Campbell, Lock Campbell, the godfather of street dancing, of locking, who now rests in peace, but I was putting an event together. And I needed to help to hear from him. We're closed for the holidays. Office is closed, but when the office opens up, you know, at the beginning of the year, you know, I'll get back to you and we can take it from there. And I haven't heard from the brother since. And he's the director of Skid Row Strategy. And we got a global pandemic in our streets. People dying in our streets. People by the hundreds are getting infected. And there's no information that's coming to us. And so, yeah, so I'm blasting him. So he came back, you know, he called me and he said, oh, I apologize. But I said, damn, all right, put it in writing. He put it in writing, and then I blasted that because he had one sentence that basically, oh, I apologize from the deepest of my heart, oh, with blah, blah, blah. And then he went into this whole explanation of an update about COVID-19. It's like, well, I didn't ask for an update. You know, you said it's an apology, and so because he didn't have too much, it wasn't a sincere apology, so I blasted that. So we're going back and forth and back and forth, then he apologized again, and so I'm pushing all that out there online, you know, attacking the mayor. You know, there's a big fight, and, you know, Garcetti, clearly he was acting under the leadership from his boss, Mayor Garcetti, so why would Mayor Garcetti not, you know, why would he instruct his staff to not talk to Skid Row community leaders during a global pandemic? So that just shows that failed leadership on Garcetti's part. There's clearly there's hidden motives there that have to be called into question. And, you know, this unresolved issue, and we're going on and on from there.
Our listeners out there, you're tuned in to Freedom Now on KPFK. And we are hearing from General Jeff Skid Row about the ins and outs of their community during the pandemic and beyond. Take it away, Jeff.
Another topic that, you know, we want to talk about is, like you said, the Union Rescue Mission. And there's strong cases, you know, there's a lot of reports coming out of Union Rescue Mission that COVID-19 is skyrocketing in that mission. And so they've already had multiple deaths in there. And then so it's a high risk place. And so I've sent out emails, I've contacted the Department of Public Health and many others, both in the city and the county, to say that Union Rescue Mission should have been completely evacuated, over a month ago. And so the first case came in, it was in March. That person was an employee at the Union Rescue Mission, and that person subsequently died. And there were five or six infections at that point in time, and they should have completely shut down the mission, completely emptied out. You know, both the mayor of Los Angeles and the governor of California are saying they got hotel rooms and motel rooms. Okay, this is priority housing. Transport this folks. Get completely disinfect the building from top to bottom, inside, and a completely disinfect, and then move people back in after they've been tested and it comes back with the results that are negative, and then maintain, a certain cleaning regimen and things of that sort. That's how you contain, a safe environment during a global pandemic, but it's failed leadership at the Union Rescue Mission. And so myself and other Skid Row community leaders, we've called for the ousting of the CEO of Union Rescue Mission. His name is Reverend Andy Bales. And so there's a big fight that's going on, because sure, he's got his longtime supporters, but people are dying on his watch. So it's now the numbers that came out just recently is there's another death in Union Rescue Mission, and the numbers, again, they started off, it was five or six people were infected. Now, all of a sudden, the latest number is that it's 100 people in county. And so the numbers just skyrocketed. So they're saying they just moved people to a different section of the mission, a different floor, and moving people around. He said they reduced the population to 50%. Why are people still in there? I wouldn't want to be staying in somewhere, people in here dying, and if people are all around me are getting infected, why would I want to stay? Clearly, that's causing trauma. And it's like, so all this death and trauma that's being caused by the failed leadership in Union Rescue Mission, that puts not only Reverend Andy Bales, makes him liable, but Union Rescue Mission itself, they're liable for all this death and disease that's going on, that they're subjecting weak and vulnerable homeless people to. And so us as the Skid Row community activists, we're putting pressure on Union Rescue Mission to do something about it. So we tried to reach out to their board of directors to get Reverend Andy to step down. We put pressure on the Department of Public Health to go in there, and we need daily testing. We need more governance, more oversight. We need folks with real legitimate solutions in terms of these false narratives and these fake press conferences with these intentionally inaccurate numbers, trying to give out all of this false hope. Even the mayor talking about in Skid Row, 600 people were tested, but only three people came back infected, and that's highly false. It's disingenuous, and it's a shame that Mayor Garcetti, who's considered a leading candidate to be a 2024 presidential candidate, and he's running around lying about these numbers. And he's failed leadership on so many levels. All across, in terms of not only homelessness, we could talk about homelessness prior to a global pandemic. So homelessness failed on that. Measure HHH, all these billions of dollars, but all this housing, the federal leadership there. Now all of a sudden it's global pandemic and it's failed leadership there. So they're lying on the numbers to try to make it seem as safe. I'm here to tell you right now, the numbers are skyrocketing in homelessness. There is no social distancing out there. No one is even LAPD in Central Division is in Skid Row. That was the first place where the numbers started skyrocketing when COVID-19 was first known to even exist in our Skid Row community. So law enforcement, they're not out heavily enforcing. They're coming up infected themselves. So they may be calling it may be what they call a sick out. They may be calling in sick on purpose. They don't want to patrol these streets, so they're not enforcing any laws. What governance are we talking about? Where's our leadership? Where's the I reached out to the governor, and I'm waiting to hear back from his office. We got to go outside beyond local leadership. This is a travesty. There's no sense of urgency. COVID-19 is alive and well and skyrocketing and spreading throughout our community. The resources and solutions are little to nothing, and it's absolutely travesty.
Okay, so now the question moves on to solutions and what can be done to help.
it's moments like these where we need real-time solutions. But we only, in order to have real-time solutions, we need the real-time information. And so if the information is being withheld, if the numbers are being changed and not realistically being promoted, you know, we don't know exactly how bad the situation is. And let's first start here. Testing is not a solution. You know, you test people. Okay, great, you tested them, and then you walk away, they're still in harm's way, they're still left, you know, and homeless folks are still on sleeping on the sidewalk. Okay, so you tested a couple of them. What does that mean? Okay, we tested some have the COVID-19 virus and some don't. Okay, well, that's not a solution. The testing, that's, you know, to determine how much resources or what type of solutions are actually needed. So people need to get clear on this language. Testing is not a solution. So when you have these, you know, government leaders, specifically Mayor Garcetti, you know, the Department of Public Health, all these other folks pushing out that we're testing. You know, you're testing. What are the solutions? We're focused. What about the hotels and the motel rooms? As a matter of fact, what is that process? Who do we contact? Instead of giving us these inaccurate numbers in terms of how many people are infected or actually, you know, not infected, give us the numbers. We wanted the number to the hotels and the motels that we could start moving people in. Give us the number to the transportation companies that are going to pick people up and take them to these hotels and motel rooms. Give us the numbers to the contact numbers to the service providers that is once they're in the hotel, the motel rooms, they can get the medical help they need, they can get the food and any other services that they need. Give us the real numbers that actually matter, the solutions. Give us those numbers. And then give us the numbers to, you know, when this global pandemic is over, what is the paperwork they're going to need to where they don't have to come back to the Skid Row streets, come back to living in the tent, and where can they go to permanent housing after this global pandemic is over? Those are the kind of numbers. We want the contact numbers. And it's like those that out there that want to help us, let's put pressure on these government officials. It doesn't matter if it's local government, state government, or federal government. We would prefer that it would be on, but we understand that, you know, a lot of folks' time and energy is limited, but there are a lot of volunteers that are no longer coming to Skid Row because of COVID-19, and so there's a lot of undernourished people in our streets because they don't have access to water. You know, they're low on nutrients, you know, healthy fruits. You know, we're not talking about burgers and fried microwave processed food. We're talking about healthy foods, you know, fresh fruits, you know, water. You know, it'd be nice to have the good stuff, but hey, water is water. And so, you know, there's a couple of water fountains in our Skid Row parks, but when the parks close, you know, at nighttime, we don't have access to any water. So it's a so-called solution. Oh, there's another so-called solution. The mayor says the city of LA is going to put out these permanent drinking fountains. Okay, well, when is that going to start? It's a global pandemic, and we saw a couple of places where they were breaking up concrete, but that was just to make some, you know, wheelchair accessible ramps on the sidewalk. That's they're slow to move. And so these are perfect examples of why a Skid Row neighborhood council is what's needed right now. In the global pandemic, we need community leadership here. You know, not only just the residents, but the local businesses, you know, and then all other Skid Row stakeholders. We need the representation right now. Who's representing us right now? We don't know. You know, the city council, there was just an election, so we've got a city council elect member that's coming in November, but he can't take over until then. You know, the current representative is being investigated by the feds, and so he's, you know, walking on eggshells. Sound like he's a dead man walking, like he's got handcuffs waiting on him, so we can't, nobody wants to even get him around. You know, it's like slept rock. Anything he touches, me, turn into the, we don't have time for that right now. And so, you know, what is there to be doing until right now? But we need it. Skid Row Neighborhood Council, you know, we the people of Skid Row, we tried, you know, 2017 and got to an election. It is our position that the city of Los Angeles cheated us. out of our election. They didn't want to have the skin on the council. So it's like, okay, well, we defer to you for all the solutions. And looking now what's happened, not only is homelessness out of control, but the global pandemic is out of control. And we're their solutions. We're testing people. We're the solutions. We're the hotel room. We're the Skid Row Neighborhood Council. We're the mayor's special task force in Skid Row, but the COVID-19 virus. There's a whole lot that could be done that they're simply not doing. And we're still putting pressure. We're pushing the word out. Thanks to Freedom Now for giving us the opportunity to let folks know this is what's needed. This is the mindset. So again, all our supporters and allies, you know, reach out, call the local, state, and federal, call Mayor Garcetti, call all the government officials and ask them, where are the hotels? Where are the motels? What transportation company? Where's the funding going? All this funding seems to be going to Los Angeles Police Department. We don't need police right now. We need real solutions. We need people that are concerned, that care. You know, we need healthy food. We need healthy transportation. We need clean clothes. We need motel rooms. We need fresh drinking water. There's a lot of, we can go on and on and on. But people want to know my solutions. I mean, I can throw them out there, but what's been what? You know, it's our elected officials that represent us that need to be saying this stuff. But then they don't want to say it if I say it first, because then they want to have to admit that, oh, General Jeff knew what he was talking about, and he said, all we're doing is listening and doing what he said. It's not about that, but that's some type of personal, emotional, professional, political game that they're playing. And we don't have time for that. So that's why I said I recently sent out scathing emails, blasting a whole bunch of folks. And so, you know, because there's no sense of urgency. We need real leadership. There's a lot of failed leadership here, and our people have left to die in Skid Row, and that's our greatest concern.
All right, and there you have it, folks. We have been hearing from none other than General Jeff Skid Row, dear friend of the show and soldier for the people, a community organizer who's keeping us up on what's going down on Skid Row firsthand with the people, some of the least visible. So we appreciate him coming on the show and sharing that information with us.
I want to thank Freedom Now for having me on. It's really powerful. It's definitely necessary for us to get this information out to all of our listeners and all of our supporters. You know, if you want to find us, reach out to SkidRowNeighborhoodCouncil.com. That's our website. It's called SkidRowNeighborhoodCouncil.com. See you soon.
When we come back, we'll be in the classroom with Professor Dr. Gerald Horn, who has some more key wisdom and some book reviews to keep us occupied while we stay at home, right here on Freedom Now. Freedom Now is back here on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, and it is time for everyone's favorite living library to come on and drop some knowledge on us. We are joined yet again by the great Dr. Gerald Horn, ready to give us some insight into our current happenings. The floor is yours, Dr. Horn.
So Friday, May 1st marked May Day, when labor around the world is honored and celebrated, and routinely you see millions not least in Havana and Johannesburg, South Africa, marching in order to accomplish this heroic task. But not this May Day, because of the pandemic, and there hangs a tale, because this pandemic itself exposes the irrationality of the system against which many of these workers are now marching, or would have been marching, but for the pandemic. And of course, I'm speaking of capitalism. In the United States, not least in California, you see food, agriculture, crops being destroyed because farmers say that they cannot find a market to sell this food. At the same time, you see hunger continuing to grow and expand in Southern California. In California, in particular, you have hundreds, thousands who are sleeping on the street, unhoused, homeless, while at the same time, hotels stand empty. With regard to health care, the key question concerning this pandemic, you see for-profit hospitals laying off workers in the middle of a pandemic, a global crisis. Why? Because elective surgery, which is the money maker for these hospitals, particularly plastic surgery, has been canceled because many are afraid to visit hospitals in order to undergo this elective surgery, thereby cutting back on profits, thereby meaning that nurses and orderlies are laid off and doctors' salaries are cut. Above all, this global pandemic in the richest nation in the world, it has meant that this richest nation in the world has more deaths and infections than any other country on planet Earth. Why is that, you ask? Well, it's obvious. The answer is an inadequate public health care system. Why is that, you ask? Well, you can reduce the answer to two familiar phrases, racism and anti-communism. Racism in the sense that decades ago, under U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, stretching through the presidency of Harry Truman and Lyndon Baines Johnson in the 1960s, there were attempts to expand the health care system. But since Dixie, the states of the South, did not want black people to receive government benefits because they wanted black people to suffer forevermore, therefore, nobody could receive universal health care or adequate health care. Constructing a system like Canada's, for example, which has universal health care. And then there's the anti-government psychosis spearheaded by Ronald Wilson Reagan when he was governor of California in the 1960s, when he suggested that the scariest words you ever want to hear is that, quote, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Now, Ronald Wilson Reagan was actually playing upon sentiments that emerged initially in the South, in Dixie. And it's no accident that in 1980, Ronald Wilson Reagan started his campaign for the presidency in Philadelphia, Mississippi, the city where civil rights workers were slain due to a conspiracy between Klansmen and the sheriff's office. In any case, in the 1950s, the White House was forced to send federal troops to Arkansas, and then in the 1960s, to Oxford, Mississippi, to desegregate the University of Mississippi, which led to riots by deluded and angry and hysterical Euro-Americans across class lines. The White House was forced to send these federal troops into Dixie because of pressure from below by the black community and its allies, and pressure from above by national liberation movements in Africa and the Caribbean in particular, backed by the socialist camp, and the United States found it difficult to win hearts and minds in this climate when people of color in this country were treated so atrociously. Hence, the dispatching of federal troops to Dixie to enforce anti-Jim Crow regulations and measures. And then, in the 1860s, with the Civil War, you saw, once again, pressure from above by the Haitian Revolution, 1791 to 1804, backed by abolitionist forces in London, and pressures from below, speaking of black troops who fought with the government of Abraham Lincoln to defeat the slave South, and that led not only to the defeat of the slave South, but it also led to one of the largest expropriations, that is to say, taking of property without compensation in world history. That is to say, slavery was abolished, and those who had invested millions, if not billions, in the bodies of enslaved African laborers were thereby deprived of their investments, and they have been angry with the government ever since. And then there's anti-communism. Socialism, as you know, means a larger role for government. It means strengthened public schools, it means strengthened public libraries, it means a strengthened system of freeways as opposed to toll roads, it means strengthened public housing, the kind that you see in New York City, for example. And it also means, I'm afraid to say, that the United States government, particularly under President Reagan, waged a war, a bloody war, against not only socialism, but against the very concept of government. And therefore, you have seen Cuba being blockaded, despite the fact that in the midst of this pandemic, Cuba has managed to send hundreds, if not thousands, of medics and healthcare workers and physicians to Haiti, to Venezuela, to South Africa, to Angola, to Italy. You saw the overthrow of the socialist-oriented government in Grenada in the Caribbean in 1983, an attempt to destabilize the socialist-oriented government in Jamaica of Prime Minister Michael Manley. You saw the attempt to destabilize the socialist-oriented government in Mozambique, led by President Lamora Machel. And this anti-government, anti-socialist hysteria has fed into the inability of the United States to build and sustain a public health care infrastructure that would be sufficient to curb and curtail this raging pandemic. So, what is to be done? Well, obviously, what needs to be done is strengthening organizing of unions, not only at the workplace, but at rental units across the country. As a result of the coming of the rent being due on May 1st, there has been an insistent clamor and cry for a rent strike, if not a rent freeze. Also, it's well past time to reignite the demand from a few decades ago of jobs or income now, a demand that can be filtered through the Poor People's Campaign led by Reverend William Barber of North Carolina. Certainly, we need labor law reform to ensure that unions, be it at the workplace or be it in the neighborhood, can be organized more effectively. And with regard to this pandemic, the political party of all stripes should be pressured to support Medicare for all, universal health care, because now we know that even if you as an individual have a gold-plated health care regime that pays everything with no copay, you can still fall victim to the coronavirus and die within 2 or 3 days. That is to say that a chain is only strong as its weakest link. And when thousands, if not millions, of people in this country, not to mention worldwide, do not have adequate health care, that means that all of us are jeopardized, because we who were dragged across the ocean in the first instance to be enslaved and work for free should be in the forefront of the labor struggle that May 1st was designed to honor and celebrate.
This is Freedom Now with Dr. Gerald Horn on the line, dropping knowledge on us as usual. Now, we do not have Reading Rainbow right now, but we do have the next best thing in Dr. Horn. So what do you have for us this week, kind sir?
So since many of us are health-bound, it would be useful to acquaint ourselves with the burgeoning list of books that are now being published that would be helpful in terms of our own education. I think in the first place of the book by Albert Woodfox entitled Solitary, His Story of Transformation and Hope. Recall that Albert Woodfox was in prison and served years in prison over four decades, most of which was in solitary confinement, alone. And this is the book that details how he overcame. And I think that as many of us are housebound under virtual house arrest, it would be instructive to see how Albert Woodfox was able to maintain and in fact sustain and grow while being jailed and imprisoned and in solitary confinement for decades. Then there's the book by Walter Johnson, The Broken Heart of America, St. Louis and the Violent History of the United States. Now, some of you may know that Southern California, whether you realize it or not, is full of folks with roots in St. Louis, Missouri. That includes Congresswoman Maxine Waters, by the way. And I think that if you look at this book and peruse it, you will uncover a very important history of struggle, a very important history of oppression. And one of the things that's most impressive about this book is the fact that the author takes Native American history seriously. Believe it or not, you have many historians who consider themselves to be progressive who gloss over the cruel dispossession and genocide of the indigenous population of the Americas, I guess, because they feel that the creation of the United States, believe it or not, was a great step forward for humanity. Well, this author does not take that point of view. Then there's the book by the lawyer, Ben Crump, Open Season. You might recall that name. He's been the lawyer for the family of Trayvon Martin and other martyrs of our struggle in recent years that helped to give rise to the Black Lives Matter movement. And this is a book about the many struggles that he had to face while trying to gain justice for those families. And then there's a book of essays, Damon Young, with the appropriate title, quote, What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Blacker, a memoir and essay. Damon Young is a very good writer and a very acute analyst of contemporary U.S. racism, and so I recommend it for this purpose. Then there's a book by Chris Wilson, The Master Plan, My Journey from Life in Prison to a Life of Purpose. Once again, this is a story that, as we remain housebound, gives us insight into how our brothers and sisters who were jailed and imprisoned unfairly and improperly managed to maintain and sustain despite relentless persecution and oppression. And finally, there's the book by Reniqua Allen, R-E-N-I-Q-U-A Allen, It Was All a Dream, A New Generation Confronts the Broken Promise of Black America. I think that this book represents the increasing alienation that you find, particularly amongst our younger population. But unless this alienation is converted into militant action, one has to question the value of it. And in any case, I think that this book by Reniqua Allen helps us to understand and get a perspective on how and why alienation should be converted into action. This has been Gerald Horn for Freedom Now.
In closing, we'd like to thank our guest and dear friend of the show, General Jeff of Skid Row, for coming on again to update us on the present situation for those who call the Skid Row community home. Yes, we are living under a stay-at-home order, but this only highlights the plight of those without a home to stay at. For that reason, we want to keep our hearts and minds on this sensitive population, and we thank General Jeff yet again. A special thanks to Dr. Gerald Horn for once again bringing all of the context and perspective to the important happenings in the diaspora, and we hope all you listeners out there continue to quench your thirst for information by finding his collection of books at a bookstore near you or online from stores like Esselwan Books in Leimert Park. Word to producer Sister Tej and our spiritual backbone, Baba Didan Kamathi, bringing us our historical drumbeat calendar. Shout out to our engineer brother Ricky. And last but not least, thanks to all of our loyal listeners and supporters. It takes a village to build a revolution, and freedom now is a village to be reckoned with. This has been Brother Brandon Sankara, and you can join us on Facebook at Freedom Now Gerald Horn. You can email the program at freedomnow@kpfk.org or go online to audio archives on kpfk.org. Scroll down to Freedom Now to hear this program as well as 60 days worth of prior programming here at KPFK 90.7 FM. We now send you off to our sister Assumpta with Spotlight Africa coming up next, addressing issues facing Mama Africa. And until next Saturday, here at Freedom Now, we stand running our marathon ready for revolution.
The previous program on KPFK was pre-recorded.
Keep independent radio alive. Become a member of KPFK at kpfk.org.
Hi, this is Christine Blasdell, and I'd like to send a big thank you to our members who make KPFK's coverage of the news possible, including breaking news and our expanded coverage of COVID-19. One more way to help is to donate a vehicle you no longer need. We'll pick up that car, truck, or RV, get top dollar for it, and invest the funds right back into bringing you comprehensive coverage of the day's top stories. Donate that unwanted vehicle today and keep your community informed and safe. Get started at kpfk.org. That's kpfk.org.
Hey, this is Wanda Sykes, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. And if you'd like to shell out a few bucks, you know, keep us up and running so I can have nice conversation in a cool voice like this. Pick up the phone and call 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK. Thank you.
Hello, this is Vic Jarami. I'd like you to join me every Monday morning at 7 a.m. for The Blunt Post with Vic. My one-hour program will feature elected officials,
the House of Representatives. We're going to reject the cuts.
Headline makers.
And I say to audiences on this campaign, I'm not here to say to you what I think you want to hear.
Breaking news.
And we have a responsibility to consider the effect of remaining in this race any further.
And much more. So tune in Monday mornings at 7 a.m. to KPFK for The Blunt Post with Vic.